Shalom, good people. Shalom. Good to see you tonight. My name is Malik. I am a fictitious merchant in the seaport town of Joppa in Israel. I have come to visit you from approximately 2,800 years in the past. But don't let that bother you. Now, last week, I was telling you the story of how I witnessed a man vomited out of a great fish. That man turned out to be the prophet Jonah. There were some fishermen that also saw him come out of that great fish, which vomited him on dry land. Well, I took him into my house, put him in a bed, and my family and I cared for him. But once he regained consciousness, he kept saying he had to go to Nineveh. He had to go to Nineveh. After about 3 days, he was so insistent. He said, "I'm leaving as soon as I can." Well, I said to him, "Jonah, I believe that you are God's prophet. And I believe that God wants you to bring his word to Nineveh. God has put it on my mind to help you. Jonah, you're in no condition to make it for the long journey to Nineveh. It would take 3, maybe even 4 weeks. So here's what I'm going to do. There's a caravan leaving tomorrow, going out to the east. It will travel north to Damascus, then to the Euphrates River, then over the mountains to the Tigris River, and down to Nineveh. Yes, the capital of our greatest enemies, the Assyrians. But I'm going to give you some food for the journey. I'm going to give you some clothing to wear. I'm going to give you a little bit of money. And I've already paid for your passage to and from Nineveh. And I'm going to send my servant with you to assist you along the way. The caravan leaves at first light tomorrow. So, early the next morning, Jonah got up and I bid him goodbye. And I prayed that God would protect him and guide him and keep him safe. And above all, that God would honor his word that Jonah would bring to Nineveh. And so he set out. But you see, he still wasn't well, because after being in the stomach of the big fish for 3 days and three nights, his skin was almost completely white. His hair was gone, and he was blotched all over. He was still in need of recovery. But having looked like that, he really looked like he had come back from the dead. What do you think the Ninevites thought when they first saw him? Well, to answer that question, I've brought a guest tonight, the king of Nineveh. Salam, king. May peace be upon you.
Salam. May peace be upon you too, my friend.
Very good. Welcome, welcome. So, is it true that you were the king when the whole city of Nineveh repented under the preaching of Jonah?
Absolutely. That was the turning point of our history. In fact, it was so important that they kept record on a tablet. Very.
That is amazing. Now, King, when was it that you first heard about Jonah?
Well, you see, I heard it several days before he actually came to our city. First, the officials heard rumors from traders out west that in the great sea, a man had been swallowed by a great fish, and they kept him in his belly for 3 days and 3 nights, but he came out alive.
Did you believe it?
Well, at first we were not sure at all, but the next day we heard more details. We learned that he was a Hebrew, the prophet of the Most High God, and that God was sending him to Nineveh.
You mean that you Ninevites knew of the true God, the Most High God, the God who created the universe, the God of Israel?
Yes, we knew of the one true God. But sadly, years ago, we turned away from him and worshiped false gods like the fish god Dagon.
So, tell me, King, what did you Ninevites think when this man that had been swallowed by one of your fish gods and stayed inside of this fish god for 3 days and three nights, and he came out alive, and then you heard he was coming to Nineveh by orders of the Most High God?
Yes, we were terrified. It was like the God of Israel had defeated our fish god. And we knew we were guilty. The time of God's wrath was very near.
And what happened then?
Another day had passed, and suddenly the alarm of doom was sounded throughout the whole city. He's here! He's here! The man who came out of the great fish, the prophet of God. So I rushed to my window and I saw he was alive. He was all white, like a walking spirit, alive. We thought he was dead, but he was alive. And he was shouting in the street, "Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown."
Amazing. You know, King, our own Messiah said that Jonah himself was the sign of God's coming judgment. And that Jonah was like the proof that God really would do what he said. It was the proof of the truth of God's message.
Yes, that's right. We saw Jonah, and immediately we believed in God's warning. We knew we were going to be destroyed, and I command to everyone to cry out to the and turn from their evil and wicked ways.
What happened then?
I knew that God was God of judgment and mercy. So throughout the whole city, I would hear everyone's voices, and they would change their mind, turn away from their wrath, and spare us from destruction.
Well, did he do that?
Yes. God, in his mercy, heard our prayers. We saw that God, and we knew that I saw that people had repented of their sins. He forgave us, and we turned away from our wicked ways, and God turned away from destroying our city.
That is incredible, King. Thank you for sharing that with us. But before you go, there's one more thing I want to ask you. Now, where is that scroll?
Yes.
Oh, here it is.
Of course.
Now, I think they call it a book. Anyway, when our Messiah walked the earth, he said something that I never really understood about you and about your Ninevites that repented. Let's see if I can find it here. It says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." I was wondering, King, do you know what this means?
Yes, at the great final judgment, our Messiah will deal with those religious leaders of his day who rejected him. And then he will call all of us from Nineveh that repented under Jonah's preaching to stand and condemn those religious leaders for their refusal to follow the Messiah.
Wait a minute. You mean that God has a role for you and the Ninevites that repented on that great final judgment day, and God will have you standing there with Jesus, and you will condemn the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees that rejected Jesus? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's right.
That is incredible.
Indeed, it is.
Well, King, thank you so much for sharing these things with us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your most welcome.
Thank you very much, and salam.
Salam. Yes. Salam. Salam.
Well, so the nation, or the city of Nineveh repented. At least 600,000 people maybe even a million or more. It was the greatest revival that had ever been witnessed or ever happened in that part of the East. Now, it would be wonderful if Nineveh had stayed that way. But unfortunately, those people that believed the preaching of Jonah did not pass on their new faith generation after generation. So that after approximately 100 years, the city of Nineveh was back where it started, worshiping false gods, worshiping idols. They had turned away from God. So God sent another prophet. God sent the prophet Nahum to warn Nineveh again. Nahum, in his prophecy, warned that if Nineveh did not repent, it would be completely destroyed. As a matter of fact, Nahum said, "There shall the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up like a canker worm, it shall make you be eaten as by locusts." The whole book of Nahum tells about the doom of Nineveh. Nineveh did not repent. And so, God sent the Babylonians to completely destroy the city of Nineveh. In 612 years before the Messiah came, the city of Nineveh was completely destroyed, so much so that it was never occupied again, never rebuilt. No one ever lived in that city of Nineveh anymore. God's warning became true. The nation that forgets God is turned over into hell. And that is what happened to the nation of Nineveh. But those that repented were forgiven by God, and Jesus said they will stand again at the judgment day to condemn those who did not repent when Jesus was on the earth. There's one more thing. God, in working this out for Nineveh, worked out so many different things to bring them together. You see, who would have thought that the most evil capital of the most evil empire of the Middle East would be ready to trust in God? Who would have thought they would repent, given a very simple message, yet 40 days and your city will be destroyed? There's no record that Noah said anything else. And you look at that and think, was that really enough? But you see, God knew the hearts of the Ninevites. He knew what they needed. God also knew that Jonah would run away, get on the boat, and so God sent a giant fish purposely to swallow him and bring him out of that alive. And when he appeared alive, the people of Nineveh believed. Jonah was the sign that God was the true God. Jesus said Jonah was the sign of God's coming judgment, and it was like they believed right away. Well, the Ninevites didn't have very much of the Word of God. They had the knowledge of God, as all nations do, and they knew a little bit about the God of the Hebrews. But they didn't have a Bible like we have. But they had enough truth that God has given them and enough that God had revealed to them that when they received the message of repentance, they turned to the one true God. And Jesus rebuked the people listening to him in his day. And he said, "A greater than Jonah is here." And Jesus rebuked the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, because they were able to see Jesus face to face and hear him teaching, and the Ninevites did not have that. I'm sorry to say that even though the Ninevites turned away from their wicked ways and they repented, Jonah did not change his bad attitude. Oh, he eventually obeyed, but he wanted so much to see the Ninevites get what they deserved that he camped outside of Nineveh, waiting day after day after day to see if God would destroy them or spare them. And God rebuked Noah in several ways. He sent a tremendous hot wind. Then he sent a vine to grow up and cover Jonah and give him shade. Then he sent a worm to destroy that vine. All this time, Jonah did not change his attitude. He continued to complain, and he continued to want very much for his enemies to get, well, let's just say, he, as far as Jonah was concerned, God should kill them because that's what they deserved. Well, they deserved that, but God gave his mercy to them and forgave them. Jonah, however, saw that they were not going to be destroyed, and after 40 days, he left Nineveh, came back to Israel. But God had one more thing for him to do. God had Jonah write down a record of what had happened. And God had Jonah leave nothing out, the good and the bad. So Jonah had to write in his own record what had happened, how he had run away from God, how he had disobeyed God, and how his attitude had never changed. That is the amazing thing, that Jonah wrote what was absolutely true, and then he submitted his scroll to the priests in Jerusalem. And when they read it, they realized, this is the word of God. And they added his scroll to the sacred writings to men. Other writings like men of Moses, David, and Solomon, they added it to the sacred scriptures so that we would have it today, so that we would have the record of this tremendous, great revival. Now, lessons for us. How much of the Word of God did the Ninevites have? Not much. How much of the Word of God do we have? A lot. Do you act on the Word of God that you have as much as the Ninevites did? Sobering question. What about people throughout the world? How much of the Word of God do they have? There's over 7,000 active languages in the world, and over 3,500 have no Word of God, and most of them do not have a complete Bible. And yet, God is saving many people with just a little bit of the Word of God today, but they need more. They need much more. Now, next week, we'll finish our series with a discussion of the legacy of Jonah. You see, Jonah's ministry went far beyond getting swallowed by a big fish and preaching to Nineveh. His influence went far beyond that, and we'll discuss that next week. So, Pastor, you want to close?